following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Brendan O'Connell. Well, I was down in Florida recently for 3 or 4 days, and I bumped into Andrew Chervelle, who is the founder and the executive director of a group called the Florida Voice for the Unborn. And there's all sorts of activity going on, and I'll just briefly tell you a little bit about Andrew's background. He was from New York. He went to the University of Michigan, where Tom Brady was, and just for a place that it's west of Boston. And then he ended up down in Florida and at Ave Maria Law School, Ave Maria University Law School. And he's been involved in pro-life activity much of his life, actually, I think since college or maybe before. We welcome you to the show today, Andrew.
Thank you, Brendan, for having me on. Good to see you again.
Yeah, Andrew, I wanted to ask you, first of all, can you give us some background about there's an amendment that may be voted on this November of 2024. Can you give us a background of how this all happened and where we're at today?
Sure. Well, in May of 2023, the Florida abortion industry and its national allies launched a citizens' petition drive to change the Florida Constitution so that an explicit right to access abortion is embedded in our state's governing document. And they only had until February 1st of 2024 to gather the required signatures, which was 891,523, a substantial number of signatures from all across Florida, in order for this initiative to qualify for ballot placement in November of 2024. They also had to meet certain individual thresholds in half of Florida's federal congressional districts. Unfortunately,
and how many are there? How many congressional districts are there in Florida?
Well, Brendan, there's 28 federal congressional districts. So they needed at least 14 congressional mm-hmm. districts, and they had to hit certain measures. So, you know, basically what it meant was that they couldn't get hundreds of thousands of signatures from very liberal cities here in Florida, the few cities that we do have that are probably majority liberal. It had to be spread out over the entire state. That's the requirements under Florida law in order to get these proposed amendments on the ballot before voters so that the voters of Florida could either approve or reject them ultimately.
And now what exactly does the amendment do that they're proposing, that the pro-abortion industry is proposing?
Well, the amendment is called the Amendment to Limit Government Interference with Abortion. And it's very slick because it's meant to appeal to libertarians, people that don't feel the government should be generally involved in their private lives. And it's actually only one sentence. It would ensure that abortion, to access abortion, is a guaranteed right up until viability. Of course, the pro-abortion side doesn't define what they mean by viability, but there's also a loophole, Brendan. And in this one sentence that they've crafted to change the Florida Constitution, they say any healthcare provider can allow for an abortion if a woman is obtaining it one, if for matters of health. And they don't describe what health matters they're talking about. They don't even describe what the healthcare provider is. So we're talking about not only an abortionist allowing late-term abortion post-viability if a woman's health is endangered, or even, it's so undefined. It could be, for purely psychological, mental health reasons, whatever the abortionist or whatever any other healthcare provider in Florida is willing to sign off on. So that means abortion until birth is really a guaranteed right if this amendment passes this November.
So if a woman, on the health exception side, if a woman says that I've got emotional difficulties with this pregnancy or psychological difficulties, can she get an abortion?
Yes.
Under this proposed amendment to the Constitution?
Yes, she can. And as we know, Brendan, the abortion industry is a huge business. They're never going to say or say no to any a woman that wants an abortion post-viability, meaning generally they don't define it, but what has been termed, when the baby can live outside the mother's womb. So we're talking about at 26, 28 weeks, 30 weeks, if a woman decides at that point in her pregnancy that she wants to go through with an abortion, all she needs to do is find a healthcare provider that will sign off on it, and it will be legal in Florida to do so. And there's nothing that the legislature or the governor or any of our governmental entities can do to interfere with this so-called super state constitutional right. That's the real scary part, because if the amendment passes in November, that means all our pre-existing pro-life protections for unborn children and their mothers would basically be null and void. And so that would either be accomplished through the courts, which is the most likely option here in Florida, because our legislature for several decades has been in Republican hands. And so those laws wouldn't be effectively repealed by the legislature, but in fact, they would be repealed by the state courts, who would really have no other option if you look at the text of this amendment and what it would do, other than to invalidate every single pro-life protection that we've passed here in Florida in the past couple of decades. So that means our 24-hour waiting period law would be gone. Our parental consent law would be gone. Our current prohibition right now on abortions after 15 weeks would be null and void. And we're also hoping that our newly passed Heartbeat Protection Act that we're hoping still to go into effect, that would also become null and void. So it would be unlimited abortion here in Florida, just like you see in many, many blue states, such as California and Hawaii.
And what about the barbaric partial birth abortion? Would that be okayed now in Florida if this amendment were to pass?
Yes, it would be, Brendan. Florida has a state prohibition on the partial birth abortion technique. But again, if an originalist, textualist understanding of this amendment, no matter how conservative you may be, if you're a judge or a justice, if you look at this amendment, you'll have no other option other than to read that the government, meaning the legislature and the governor, cannot interfere in any way. That means they can't pass any laws or even enforce any laws that were already on the books. So partial birth abortion, very, very sadly, would make a return to Florida. And to me, that is completely barbaric, completely unacceptable, and something I don't think Florida voters would realize because the abortion industry is attempting to hide the true effects of what this amendment would do with some of the trickery that we've seen happen in other states that have passed similar amendments to their state constitution since the fall of Roe versus Wade.
Well, would you classify this amendment then as deceptive and purposely vague?
Absolutely. The amendment is written in such a way as to hide, I call it hiding, the real intent of it from Florida voters. especially, you know, here in Florida, this isn't good. If this amendment is ultimately okayed by the Florida Supreme Court, and we're in the process right now of awaiting the decision from our court, whether it will indeed appear on the ballot in November. If it appears on the ballot, though, it won't be the only amendment. You know, there are several other amendments, some that have been proposed by the legislature, and another one that was initiated through a citizen's petition that could be also on the ballot as well. So we're talking about a very lengthy ballot. And if people aren't educated, if the voters of Florida aren't thoroughly educated as to what this amendment means, they could be rushed into a decision either through the early voting process or absentee ballots, or even on the day of the election, into voting for something that they don't truly really understand the full ramifications of.
Now, I noticed that the pro-aborts are trying to sell abortion as reproductive freedom. And the PAC that was set up in Florida was called Floridians Protecting Freedom, Inc. Is that part of the deception right there, that they're calling it freedom? Or how do you answer to that claim that, oh, well, the abortion industry provides freedom for those that want an abortion?
Absolutely, Brendan. It's all part of the same playbook that the abortion industry has used for decades now. And you know, here in Florida, my organization, Florida Voice for the Unborn, led a coalition during the petition gathering phase to combat the petition gatherers. So we did a decline to sign campaign, and you know, part of it was because we knew Christians and Catholics and people of faith and Republicans were signing this petition. They didn't realize what they were getting themselves into, and that's because the pro-aborts always use deceptive tactics in the way they talk about it and the way they present the petition very quickly for people to sign. So according to the this pro-abortion political committee that's behind the amendment, they claim that they had over 200,000 registered Republicans here in Florida that actually signed their petition. And to me, that's scary, because the only way that it would pass here in Florida is if enough Republicans vote in favor of it. You know, unlike some of the other states that have passed these proposed constitutional amendments, here in Florida, you need 60% of all voters who are voting in the election to approve it. So that's a high bar. And because Florida has become increasingly a red state, a conservative state, the pro-abortion side knows they have to change their tactics. Yes, they have to get their base out, but they also have to convince a good number of conservative Christians and other right-leaning voters to cross over and vote in favor of their amendment in order for it to pass. So they're going to use whatever is available to them to get this amendment passed. And deception, it has always been one of their number one tools, and we anticipate that is going to continue to play out in 2024 if indeed this amendment gets on the ballot.
Now, I've been involved in politics here in Massachusetts to some degree, and I've collected signatures and paid to get paid signatures, like at $1 or $2 a signature. How did the amendment to limit interference with abortion, that's the title of it, I believe, how did they get so many signatures, 800 or 900,000, did you say?
Yeah, they ended up with over 996,000, so a little bit more than 100,000 over the threshold they needed. Mm-hmm. And they used a combination of paid petition circulators and volunteer petition circulators. But the paid petition circulators, under Florida law, they can't be paid per signature because of, you know, fraud reasons. But they were paid very highly per hour. And we had some reports on the ground that some of these petition gatherers were paid as much as $50 an hour. And they brought in these petition gatherers from all over the country. So they really descended on Florida. And what we did see is that after the pro-life side lost in Ohio in early November, we saw a very large infusion of out-of-state cash pour in to Florida so that they would get the amendment over the finish line by the February 1st petition gathering or verification deadline. And so that's what happened. Up until that time, primarily the vast majority of the money was being raised inside of Florida, which is, you know, no small feat in itself. But then the big money from California and New York started flowing in after the pro-life side, unfortunately, lost that ballot initiative in Ohio.
And do you know who some of those big money people are, by any chance?
Well, we have one right here in Florida. She is actually I believe the spouse of a hedge fund manager, and she initially gave a $1 million seed money to begin with. But then what we saw was they really, Brendan, if you look at the political campaign finance reports, they did a lot of grassroots type fundraising. So they were sending out, and they had a firm to collect money every single day of their petition gathering efforts. And so they were getting money from, low dollar donors, but it added up all the way from the Florida Keys through Pensacola. They were very well organized, and they stepped on the brakes. But these, they accelerated. They didn't step on the brakes, they accelerated. They stepped on the gas pedal. But the out-of-state money, it comes from the usual suspects, groups that are either front groups for Planned Parenthood or the ACLU or the Center for Reproductive Rights. All these groups are part of the coalition that formed this political committee to ensure that their proposal would get on the Florida ballot in November. So it's all the usual suspects.
And about how much did they raise?
The last campaign finance report that I saw was dated December 31st, and they raised, I believe, close to $17 million. Now, the good thing from our perspective is that they burnt through pretty much all the money they raised because they needed every single penny to pay those petition gatherers. And also for the verification process here in Florida, that's also very expensive. So they had to do that as well. They had to pay for a lot of that verification process. So, but we know right now, even though the ballot hasn't, the amendment hasn't officially qualified yet for the ballot pending this Florida Supreme Court review, we know they are raising money right now, Brendan. And on the pro-life side, we have to get going. Because we are really behind the ball here, it's unfortunate. All the different factions and the groups here in the Florida pro-life movement need to stick together, because our number one enemy is the abortion industry, and the number one tool they are going to use to wipe out not only the pro-life movement here, but to enshrine abortion pretty much forever, is this amendment process. So we have to be focused as a pro-life movement here in Florida like a laser on defeating this initiative. And that's a multi-pronged strategy, but money has to come into it as well. Look, Brendan, we know that we're never going to out-fundraise the other side, okay? We always start with that proposition. But that doesn't mean that we don't mount as aggressive of a campaign as possible. So right now, we're in February, and if it gets on the ballot in November, even with early voting starting in October and absentee ballots going out in September, we still have a good 6 months to lay the groundwork to defeat this initiative. And I really do believe that Florida will be the bulwark because of that 60% voter threshold. Mm-hmm. We will turn the tide nationally if we can defeat it here in Florida. So it's all hands on deck.
I see. I was gonna ask you last week, you were at the, in Tallahassee at the Florida Supreme Court. Were you there making arguments, or was there another attorney group making arguments for you on your behalf?
Well, we were actually hosting a rally and press conference in support of our pro-life Attorney General, Ashley Moody, who under Florida law is empowered to challenge misleading and vague citizen-initiated amendments to the Florida Constitution. And Attorney General Moody came out right off the bat and she said, I haven't seen a worse proposed amendment than this one being proposed by the Florida abortion industry. So she's challenged it rightly before the Florida Supreme Court. The Florida Supreme Court has the ultimate say on this. So if they say no, it's misleading, it's vague, it won't be on the ballot. But a number of pro-life groups nationally and locally have also filed friend of the court briefs in support of the Attorney General's position. And Florida Voice for the Unborn led a huge rally at the Florida Supreme Court. We were co-sponsored by 10 other different Florida-based pro-life groups. We had Frank Pavone as our main keynote speaker. And we wanted to let our justices and our Attorney General know that we had their back, that pro-life citizens here in Florida do not want this misleading amendment on the ballot. And we applaud them, our Attorney General, and the other groups for fighting the good fight in the court. Now, if you look at the court's composition, Brendan, we should have a victory because Florida's Supreme Court has been called probably the most conservative state Supreme Court in the entire country. And that's thanks to the governor, Governor DeSantis, during his administration here in Florida since 2019, he has appointed five of the current seven sitting justices on the Florida Supreme Court. So we continue to hope and pray that they will do the right thing and eliminate this evil, vague, misleading proposal from getting on the ballot in November here in Florida.
Are the judges, the Supreme Court justices, are they appointed or are they elected? And are they term limited out of the position?
Well, the Florida Supreme Court justices are appointed by the governor, but they do face periodic retention elections. So the good news is that since our new constitution in 1968, no Florida Supreme Court justice has ever lost a retention election. Uh-huh. So, from our perspective, the Florida Supreme Court should have nothing to fear from doing the right thing. Of course, there'll be backlash if they throw this off. The Florida abortion industry will most likely go apoplectic. And that doesn't mean they won't try again in 2026, because that would be the next opportunity. But it would be a severe blow to the Florida abortion industry if the court were to rightly throw this off the ballot.
I see. And who on our side, what kind of groups or how big was the rally that you had? Was it 100 people or 200 people, would you say?
It was a little bit more than 100 people. It was a Wednesday morning in Tallahassee, bright and early at 9 a.m., which was a little bit cooler than usual. But the pro-abortion side actually turned out and did their own rally, and that was in response to what we had announced. Initially, they were just going to do a virtual watch party, but they paid their goons to come on out and try to have, attempted to have an opposing rally, but they didn't have a microphone and they didn't have any speakers. So we got our point across loud and clear. And we also held a press conference as well at the conclusion of the oral arguments, including with Matt Staver, the chairman and founder of Liberty Council, who actually helped argue the case before the Florida Supreme Court that morning. He was given that right by the Florida Attorney General's office. So that was very, very good from our perspective, so that the media, the mainstream liberal pro-abortion media, could see that the pro-life side is there and we're here to win it. We're not going to just roll on over, and it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars the Florida abortion industry throws in support of this. We believe that ultimately, when we make our case to the people of Florida, should this get on the ballot, that they will do the right thing and reject it, and that Florida will be the bulwark in the nation to stop the trend of these pro-abortion initiatives.
We've got about a minute or two left, and I just wanted to ask, was there anyone in the court who felt good about our side possibly winning, or would Matt Staver come out and say, we're going to do great? That's one question. The other question is dollars spent in the future. If this is allowed to be on the ballot, there's going to be a lot of television commercials coming down the pipeline. What do you think of that?
Well, one, there's been mixed reactions on all the legal observers' side. Again, if you look at the court's composition, we should easily win it. If you look at some of the tough questions that the justices asked during oral argument, we don't know. It's 50-50, really, how they will rule. But they have to rule, Brendan, by April 1st. So we will have a decision from the Florida Supreme Court by then. And two, as in terms of the ads, if it does get on the ballot, we're not worried here in Florida because the grassroots groups are going to do the ground game, and we know we'll get the same aerial support on the airwaves that was shown in Ohio and some of the other states. So we're going to do the groundwork and the ground game, and that's where groups like mine, like Florida Voice for the Unborn and our partners, can really make the difference, especially to get us under that 60% threshold.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show and to explaining what's going on in Florida and how important it is. And we'll keep a close eye on it and hopefully maybe have you back after April or maybe in a joyous state or around election time in November. And folks, we hope you found today's show to be unique, informative, content-rich, truthful, and thought-provoking. Thanks for watching and listening. My name is Brendan O'Connell, your friend for life.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.